Yes, gun control, or the issues of gun control once again making headlines out there in the U.S. with yet another classroom shooting, and this in the state of Texas, just a little outside the town of San Antonio. A few minutes ago, what we found out as while the shooting might have taken place on Tuesday afternoon, evening and late evening and night time, our time that is, what we have found out thus far is that 19 children and at least 2 adults have been deceased, with a number still being injured. And this is on the back of dozens of other shootings coming out of the U.S. Now, the world, of course, remains in shock after an 18-year-old went on a shooting rampage, yet another 18-year-old, killing that 19 children and 2 adults, and the children between the ages of 7 and 10 years of age in an elementary school, what we would call here a primary school. This is the second worst school massacre in the history of America, and follows weeks after another shooting where another 18-year-old, or rather a week after, but just about 10 days after, another 18-year-old killed 10 people at a shopping center, and with another incident in California. And one would have thought that America would have learned after Columbine, after Las Vegas, or the incident out there in Nevada, 52 people, I believe, in that in that incident, having lost their lives. Joining us is Gun Free South Africa's Gauteng regional coordinator, Mary Ann Nobel. Good evening, Mary Ann.
Hi,
Mary. Thanks for joining us. Flags flying half-mast in the U.S. until Sunday. Now, of course, there's widespread condemnation about what happened, and as there is after every mass shooting, but it seems that this is going to continue in the U.S., and although administration after administration claiming that they would do better, the reality is that they haven't. When is this going to change for that country? This might go without saying that tighter gun control, but what needs to be done differently there?
Looking at a country like the USA, civilians have easy access to firearms. When people have easy access to firearms, you're going to see an increase in gun deaths, and that's exactly what's happened in the US. You mentioned that you said 19 children were shot and 2 adults were shot. That's 21 people. And that's exactly what similarly in South Africa, gun violence is looking the same. We lose 23 people every single day because, a lot like the U.S., South Africa has easy access to guns.
Mary-Ann, I mean, why do young people become so violent? One thing is that the issue of guns, but it's also the issue of, many young people seem to become radicalized at a young age. And not to say that there haven't been, young people showing tendencies of violence, even in a gun-free or a less gun society. But in the U.S., I mean, it seems to be a major problem. An 18-year-old in the Buffalo incident, no doubt that happened. Here again, an 18-year-old. And it always seems that young men at the edge of all these incidences. I mean, why so?
I think young men, young people in general, being young is an experimental phase. And I think violence is something that, as you've mentioned, we see globally. But we can't act like there's something or something instant can be done about behaviors and change. And so when we can make this observation that young people are known to be violent, as you have said, we need to take caution. We need to be aware of it and do something about it. And the one thing that can be done is taking the weapon away from the people, because you can't guarantee people's behavior and their changes, or what you can, want them or expect them to do. But what you can do is make sure that there are limits on what they can do with that behavior. And so having limits on guns, on the types of guns and who can have guns, can make the biggest difference.
I think, you know, most societies do agree that there has to be gun control, gun management, who actually gets a firearm to begin with. But, I mean, the advocation of a society with no guns. We've seen, you know, British policing for many years, for many decades, also experiment with zero gun, no gun type of policy, in the sense that even the bobbies or the cops were not carrying guns. It seems that that has changed because their society has evolved. That will you ever see a society, I mean, where even the cops do not carry guns?
We would love to see a society where even the cops don't carry guns. I do think it's something that we need to slowly work our way into. And I think right now, our law, I'm not too sure if you're aware that the FCA draft bill did come out last year, but trying to slowly move into a space where we are getting rid of guns to create an overall safer society, because it has been proven, not only in South Africa, but around the world, that when you have less access to guns, then there is less death. And I think we can all agree that we're not trying to see people die on a daily or hear about people who've been shot dead here and there in different parts of the country, different parts of the world.
You know, when it comes to gun and gun-related issues, right, I mean, while South Africa is a standout country on its own when it comes to gun violence, the Western Cape comes to mind where, you know, ever so once in a while, footage of young people on the Cape Flats running around with firearms and, you know, even at funerals, etc., brandishing firearms. You know, the thing is that, is it so easy to actually acquire a firearm in South Africa as people make it out to be? Anybody who went through the legal system will tell you that it's more and more difficult by the day, and it seems that it's much more easier to acquire illicit firearms, illegal firearms, than it is to acquire illegal ones.
So one thing I can tell you about South Africa that, yes, there are, I'm pretty sure we can all agree that we know that there are legal and illegal gun owners. And in a country like South Africa, 24 guns are lost daily by civilians, lost or stolen. And so those guns are the guns that are being, you know, used illegally, the guns you're speaking of that are easy to acquire. And we can't even keep track of those guns because let's say, Junaid, right now, you have a gun, it's being stolen, and now we don't know what's happening to that gun. We don't know how many hands it's being passed through, and we don't even know that if Peter stole it, he's keeping it on himself. Chances are it's being sold, chances are it might have been stolen from Peter as well. And so it's like every single illegal gun that we look at in South Africa has been legal at some point in its life cycle. It was either stolen or lost, and that's why we have such a large number of illegal guns out there. And so that's why looking at trying to put limits on civilians having guns would help us reduce access, like criminal access to firearms.
The issue will remain. I mean, that, you know, for a while, or at least many civilians who wish and desire firearms, or who are legal owners of firearms, will say that all this does is that it merely takes guns out of the hands of of responsible gun owners who are not criminals, and still gives access to those who are criminals. And you know, if it's cut off at the top that legal gun owners cannot acquire guns or ammunition, well, that means that many of them may claim to be that we are sitting ducks and unable to defend ourselves.
Well, what we do know for sure is that guns aren't guaranteed for self-defense. Like, owning a gun for self-defense it's not like guaranteed that that's not going to happen. And I want to say that let's once again put ourselves in real life situations. You're sitting at home watching TV with your family and a criminal comes in. At what chance, if you are a legal gun owner and you're following the rules, at what opportunity are you going to get to go for your gun? At what opportunity are you going to be able to go into the safe and reach for your gun? And if that criminal sees you reaching for your gun, what are the odds that he's not going to shoot? He's definitely going to shoot. Secondly, I don't think it's good to think like that. And I say that because if we feel like, okay, South Africa's dangerous, we can't trust our, you know, justice system or the police to come take care of us, what we're saying is we need to, like you just said, we need to arm ourselves. But what country are we then building? I think we need to focus more on holding the people who should be taking responsibility for crime, like the police, we should be holding them accountable. Because saying that, oh no, they're not doing their job, so I need to be able to defend myself. How many South Africans will have to arm themselves if that's the mindset we want to follow? We'll be creating the Wild Wild West. Who's to say we won't then turn into America, where our teenage children will have access to the guns that are in the home and be shooting dozens of innocent lives between the ages of 7 and 10?
In the incident in Texas, that's, of course, the cusp of our conversation over here, Mary Ann, the shooter, the 18-year-old shooter, was stopped by a person who was a legal carrier of a firearm, was injured in the process itself. A week or so ago in Buffalo, the 18-year-old there only stopped his shooting spree, not because he ran out of ammo, but because the guys, the cops, with guns, actually, you know, showed up. Now, in the recent case over here, the individual who showed up wasn't a police officer. He was either off duty or retired, but he was a responsible gun owner that was there at the right time and able to stop, who knows, maybe further carnage. Many people may say that you're right by saying that, look here, where are you going to go and get your gun if they break into your house? But there are instances that where it could be and has been proven to be useful.
So I understand what you're saying, but That's one case out of how many? There have been many cases where gun owners weren't able to use their firearms. And in fact, a lot of gun owners have been, you know, their guns have been taken from them. Also, when you look at that situation in Texas, that boy was, he was not armed, but he had armor. He had protective armor. And so it's like, it wasn't an easy opportunity to jump at and be like, okay, we're taking him down. There were two people who tried to, and one was shot in the head. If no one had a gun at all, no one would be dead right now. And that's the reality of the situation, and that's why we need to push to have less guns in the arms of civilians. Because at the end of the day, that young man was a civilian. It's not like it's a police officer who went to the school and shot at all those people. It was a young civilian who had access to a firearm. And so if he didn't have that, we'd have so many lives right now in America. So many people would have not lost their lives. So many people would have not been in a situation where they had to think whether they need to pull their guns out or not. So many people would not be in hospital beds right now, suffering from trauma wounds. So we can't act like, oh no, sometimes the gun is good, sometimes it's bad, because at the end of the day, lives are being lost. And are we trying to say that some lives are more important than others?
If one is to look at the top 20 ownership of guns, of course, US, from a country point of view, is far ahead than everybody else. But also on that list, Switzerland, Finland, Uruguay, there are many countries on that list, France on that list, you know, of the top gun-owning countries, that where you do not see the carnage that we are witnessing either here or in South Africa, and you are seeing a level of responsible and recreational gun usage, yet they make it to the top ownership of gun, gun ownership in that country. So one may argue that, you know what, it's not the gun, but rather the uses behind the gun.
Well, I think firstly, context matters. You can't compare South Africa, which is a third world country, a developing country, to France, to Switzerland. The context is completely different. Of course, we experience more crime. The poverty levels here are insane. And so I think it's unfair to compare us to them, because of course we're going to see more crime. Of course we're going to see civilian guns being stolen to go commit acts that aren't, you know, legal. And so I think to make that comparison, firstly, is not a fair one. Secondly, when I say context, I think I'm open to correction if it's Sweden or Switzerland, but it's a matter of who has, once again, limits, who has access to the guns, because you'll find that men in this particular country, and I'm willing to confirm on email or later, and you can let your listeners know, but you'll find that suicide in that country by men, by firearms, is much higher than a lot of the other countries. So it really is about context and seeing where exactly is that gun being placed in that society. It's Switzerland, yes. Thank you. Sorry, I had forgotten it, but it's come back now. In Switzerland, men are killing themselves with guns. The suicide level is high, and it's by firearms. So we can easily say that, oh, it's not mass shooting, oh, it's not femicide, but guns are taking lives at the end of the day at higher rates than average, than, you know, a health issue would. please don't.
And one of the highest rates of suicide in the world happens to be, I think, Sri Lanka, where people, use other means to kill themselves by hanging, by throwing themselves off a particular bridge. Should we now, ban ropes? Should we now go that way as well?
Point is, overall, guns are more lethal. Even in South Africa, I'm going to bring it back home, gun wounds will kill you more, you're less likely to survive a gun wound than you are like a stab wound or a brick wound. And that's why it's the leading weapon when it comes to crime. So you can't regulate ropes, you can't regulate buildings and how many people stand on top of them, but you can regulate firearms. And that's why we need to push for stricter gun laws.
Mary Ann Noble, thank you for joining us at Radio Islam International. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Well, that was Mary Ann Noble, Gauteng's regional coordinator for Gun Free South Africa. Gun free and, whether that will make a person absolutely free by way of safety is another issue. By the way, the top 10 gun ownership countries in the world, Yemen ranks number 3 or 4. Now, of course, Yemen is in a state of civil war, but where you have the usage of the gun, in the case of mass shootings, like, for example, school shootings, etc., as you've seen in the U.S., that's absent over there. Yes, you will see the usage of the gun when it comes to, military or, those type of means. And obviously, you'll find, that is, brought to the fore in that particular regard. But where these issues of classroom invasions, the individual actually barricading himself in that classroom before taking the life of so many youngsters, well, you're not going to find that anywhere. And, what's also shocking is that many in that community have acquired their guns not through the legal means. They've acquired their guns through what is called ghost guns, that where a person now orders various parts of what may become a gun and it may now be put together and acquired and be put together as a weapon. And you could make, I think there was a the shooter about 3 or 4 years ago, this was out in the Baltimore area, was the first to bring to the highlight the acquisition of ghost guns, that where you could order these parts, put them together and use regular ammunition, and you could build your ghost gun as you would like it to be. Handguns or automatic rifles, all of them come in those packages. And it seems that a number of the recent shootings that have occurred have been in that particular regard. Now, how are you going to regulate that? You understand? How are you going to regulate that, where people now go on in their backyard making parts of a weapon? And we've seen this here, especially for those who've traveled to the northwestern frontier, Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, what is today known as Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, known previously back in the day as the northwestern frontier, that how many rural area you go to visit the gunsmith. The gunsmith is not necessarily working on guns that you have now acquired it from, your manufacturer, your Smith & Wesson or whatever. But he is now there, got a side operation, and he is copying those very same guns, putting his own brand on there and, selling it at a fraction of the cost. But this is something that can be acquired and something that can be made. Now, you never hear in those parts of the world a person bursting into a classroom because he has an issue with the teacher or something of that sort and killing off so many people. Even though you have a very high gun ownership and availability, it's a non-licensed part of the world. Wars are going to happen. Wars happen from, and there you're not going to show up with a knife to a war. You are going to show up with the best possible weaponry. But what we are seeing here are demented individuals that give them a gun, give them a knife, give them a chopper. They will do whatever they have to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of protectors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hifazat and protection from all shurur and all